Four games on Tuesday night. We're going to cover all four. Not actually a whole lot to talk about, but we'll find some stuff to talk about. And then if we have time at the end, I'm going to do some panic discussion, talking about players that I'm getting a lot of questions about. This is the 29th of October. I always get those dates confused. 29th of October. This is the post-game show. Let's go balls deep.
I'm the type to get shit done. You're the type to observe. March Madness on my speakers, but today's November 23rd. Cause I'm loud in the blunt, yeah. I don't say what I want, yeah. Probably somewhere sunny and tan. Foreign women in the sun, yeah.
That's all that I need. That's all that I need. That's all that I need. Got my brothers with me. Got my brothers with me. And my mama's healthy.
Welcome to the Balls Deep podcast brought to you by Fantasy Basketball International. I am Adam King. Find me at AdamKing91 on Twitter. Find us at FBI Basketball. We are also part of the Old Man Squad Network. Follow them on Twitter at Old Man Squad. We are on Twitter. We are on YouTube, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. Anywhere you're consuming us, please like and subscribe and rate. Do all that stuff. We only had four games, so it should be a fairly easy show. We will go through some news as we tend to do. I don't know if it helps people, but I like looking back at the injuries from the day. We did get some word on Steph Curry, not really official, but he might miss 1 to 2 weeks. So we are looking at potentially a slightly longer absence than we had first anticipated. But we will talk about the Warriors when we get to their game. Ben Simmons was out, part of his return to action, whatever they're calling it. Bogdan Bogdanovic, I guess somewhat significant. He is out for a month at least. He had a non-surgical procedure on his knee. I think I flagged this earlier last week that I was a little bit concerned about his knee injury, and it has turned into something relatively significant, so he will miss a month, which gives a bit of extra leeway for Dyson Daniels, although Dyson Daniels is also out tomorrow with hip issue. Seems to be a lot of hip issues, a lot of hamstrings. So, yes, Dyson Daniels out tomorrow. Hopefully nothing too bad, but we have seen Jonathan Isaac. He's basically missed the whole season to this point with a hip issue. So you just never know. Fingers crossed, though, Dyson doesn't miss too many games. Kuzma is out. Kyle Kuzma is out indefinitely with a groin strain. Again, a groin can be 10 days. It can be 4 weeks. Wizards aren't going to push him, but they obviously would like to have him on the floor. So if you have him, you just have to hold him. Taylor Hendricks confirmed that he is out for the season. We pretty much anticipated that that would be the case. And we will talk about the Jazz when we get to their game. Wiggins, who was a very popular stream or pickup if he was available with Curry out, he also missed Tuesday's game with a back issue, but doesn't seem to be too bad. He's questionable for Wednesday night. Lonzo Ball has a wrist sprain, which means he will probably miss about 2 weeks, reevaluated in 10 days. So let's say 2 weeks. Lauri Markkanen, he left Tuesday's game with back issue, back spasms, I think they're calling it. Look, honestly, he might just not, he couldn't be bothered playing for this team the way they look at the moment, but that's my opinion. Herb Jones also left the game early with a shoulder concern. The Pelicans aren't having a good start to the year in terms of injuries, so we will talk about them when we get there. Let's go into the games. So the first game, Dallas and Minnesota. So a replay from last year's Western Conference Finals. Dallas get the victory 120 to 114, despite Anthony Edwards going off in the first quarter. But we'll start on the Dallas side of things. Doncic was a bit banged up here, as he seems to be whenever he plays. I just keep an eye on the injury report. He doesn't tend to miss too many games, but they may hold him out for one here. 10 of 27 from the field is obviously not ideal, but the numbers were okay. 24 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists and a steal. So everything's okay there. It was just the shooting and then keeping an eye on those injuries. Kyrie Irving, he got hot really late. He finished with 35 points. He's doing Kyrie things. He looks really good. PJ Washington, back-to-back strong games, 17 and 8 with 3 assists and a steal. He does this. He goes on. He has hot weeks. He has cold weeks. He's obviously in a bit of a hot stretch at the moment. Really not much you can do with him because people won't buy him. So he isn't really a sell high candidate. And when he has those low moments, you just have to hold him and hope that he comes through it fairly quickly. Klay Thompson, 7 points. And this is the issue. When his shot's not dropping or when he's not taking shots, he has nothing to fall back on. He did have a steal, but I did not draft him. And I know he was really good to start the season. But, I'm not convinced he's going to be awesome this year based on what we've seen the last couple of years. Derek Lively continues to come off the bench, but he's playing starters minutes. The points, only 5 of them, but had 9 rebounds, 3 steals, a block, and assist, as my cats decide to go troppo right now. Over to Minnesota. As I said, Edwards went off in the first quarter. I think he had 24 at quarter time. Ended with 37, so he did slow down a bit. Look, it was a good game. I still don't see him as a first rounder, and thankfully he wasn't being taken in the first round in most leagues. But, I'd still like to see some improvement from him before putting him into that upper echelon of fantasy players. Julius Randle continues to play really well, 27 and 7 with 2 steals. Jaden McDaniels, we know that he's really, I guess he's a back-end guy due to the fact that he plays significant minutes most nights. He had 35 minutes here with 13, 4 and 4. Didn't get any defensive stuff. If you want to hold him, you can. If you want to move on, I don't really see him as a must-roster guy. Dante DiVincenzo, 26 minutes. Mike Conley, 21. Basically a minute split again. It's going to alternate. I've had a few DiVincenzo questions. Are we holding him? Are we not? Same with Conley. I think they're both holds. I think they're going to chop and change who has the better night. Tonight, neither of them really played that well, so we just hold them. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, he hit some threes late to keep the Timberwolves close, but I'm not interested in him at all. Over to the next one, Denver, another lucky escape. They win in overtime. I believe it was overtime, wasn't it? Yeah, it was. Overtime against the Nets. Nikola Jokic, another pretty dominant game, 29, 18, and 16 with a block. Jokic's going along really well. The fact that Wemby isn't playing super well probably makes Jokic the standout guy at the moment. So, you have to be pretty happy if you took Jokic with your number one pick or if he fell to you at number two or even number three. Jamal Murray, good game. Look, they all did their stuff here. We know what you get from the Nuggets. Christian Brown continues to do enough to be rostered, and the 39 minutes is a pretty good indication that he is that fifth starter for the foreseeable future. Looking at the bench, not a lot there other than Russell Westbrook, who came out of nowhere to score 22 points. Didn't do much else. 1 rebound, 5 assists, a steal. But 10 of 10 from the line, we haven't seen that in about 30 years from Russell Westbrook. So pretty happy with the free throw return there. Are we rostering him? If you want. He only played 21 minutes. This was in an overtime game. So he's okay. He fits certain builds, but he also hurts you in certain areas, as we know. Over to Brooklyn. With Ben Simmons out, Noah Clowney moved into the starting lineup and did absolutely nothing. So if you streamed him in after finding out that he was going to start, he laid a dog turd on your fantasy team or for your fantasy team. I'm not rostering him at the moment, maybe later in the year, but for now, no. Dennis Schroeder, 28 and 14. He continues his really good start to the season, as does Cam Thomas, who finished with 26 points. 3 rebounds, 3 assists. No defensive stats here in this one, but the 9 of 9 from the line is very handy. Cam Johnson, a better game, 20.7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal. He's rounding into form, so I think pretty happy with what he's been doing. And the minutes, 40 minutes for Cam Johnson would indicate that he is 100% healthy, which is a really good sign. And then we had some interesting performances off the bench. Nick Claxton, his minutes are starting to increase. I think he probably moves back into the starting lineup, possibly for their next game. I think he is actually out for their next game as part of his, I'm sure I saw somewhere. Maybe I didn't. Hang on, let me just check. I'll do it while I'm talking about them. Let me just check if Claxton is, in fact, going to miss their next game or whether that's just me. Yes, he is out tomorrow against the Grizzlies as part of his load management, injury management, whatever we're calling that. So he won't play tomorrow. Simmons will be back. So Simmons presumably will come back into the starting lineup for Noah Clowney. Zaire Williams had 18 points, but the 7 of 8 shooting, 4 of 5 from 3, don't read too much into this. Sacramento and Utah. I'll fly through the Sacramento box score because it's pretty easy. It's just their usual guys doing usual things against a team that honestly looks really, really bad. Kevin Huerter had 14 points as a starter, 2 steals and a block. He outplayed Malik Monk again, who only had 7 points. I think they're both probably worth rostering. I still think Monk has the higher upside, but we're yet to really see it. So, look, maybe it is Huerter for now. They're both sort of fringy. Keon Ellis finally did something. He had 2 steals and 3 blocks in 17 minutes. But this game, as I said, was not really close. So I'm not buying that Keon Ellis is a 12-team asset. Onto the Jazz with Taylor Hendricks out, Cody Williams started. Look, he ended up playing 30 minutes, which is encouraging, but a lot of those came late once the game was out of reach. So I'm still not, I don't think he's an ad yet. I would be watching him. I'd be watching him along with Kyle Filipowski, along with Bryce Sensabaugh. These guys, Will Hardy came out and said they're all going to get more minutes. So let's just see what their rotation looks like. I would say in a close game, but I'm not sure how many of those they're going to play in because at the moment for me, they're probably the worst team in the league. Markkanen, as I said, he only played 17 minutes. Walker Kessler, yeah, not a good matchup for him. 8 rebounds, 2 blocks and a steal. You put your hat on that and walk away. One of the interesting moves here was that Jordan Clarkson came into the starting lineup and had 21 points in 26 minutes. Colin Sexton went to the bench and had 4 points in 18 minutes. So, yeah, I'm a bit worried given that we're only in game, 4 or 5 or something for them, and Sexton has already been moved to the bench. Now, this could have been just trying to get some more scoring off the bench there, but, I mean, you could argue that Clarkson is a better scorer. Maybe it's that Sexton can handle the ball a bit more and his minutes might have been he might have played a bit more if the game had been close. So I'm not going to sort of totally overreact here and just drop him, but it is certainly a situation that we need to monitor because if he is going to come off the bench and play 20 minutes, he is probably a drop. And the last game of the night, the Pelicans and the Warriors, a pretty embarrassing loss again for the Pelicans after they lost to the Blazers, I think it was. What happened there? This one, they had a couple injuries. They also lost Herb Jones in this one, but the Warriors had injuries as well. So start with the positives. Zion looked really good, 31 points, 7 rebounds. A block, 3 assists. He hit a 3, which we don't expect to see from him. 12 of 19 from the field. That's sort of what we want to see because he has been shooting the ball poorly, but he turned things around here. Brandon Ingram continues his strong start to the season. And then outside of those guys, we just got absolutely nothing. Herb Jones, I said he only played 20 minutes. Jordan Hawkins, 25 minutes or 24 minutes off the bench, 4 points. I'm probably giving him another game because he had been playing pretty well prior to this. So, if you picked him up, I'd hold for at least one more. I'm not interested in Daniel Tice. He's starting, but yeah, there's not enough upside there. Eve Missy, 15 minutes, two blocks. I'd rather him. I think if I wanted to take a flyer on one of these centers in a deeper format, I would much prefer Missy. He looks much more impactful when he's on the floor. So, yeah, I don't think either need to be added, but Missy is intriguing. And then, yeah, we had nothing else, as I said, on the bench there. So only four games. So we worked through those pretty quickly. And as I said, let me just close this down. I thought we might look at, because I get lots of questions, and a lot of the questions now are, should I drop this guy or what do we do with this guy? If you do have any players that you want me to sort of look at in terms of, are we panicking or am I dropping? Are we holding? Are we selling high? Just pop them in the chat there. But I'm just starting. So I've just sort of started. I've got some rankings up here on my other screen, and I've just sorted them by ADP. So basically anyone inside the top 50, no matter how bad they're playing, I'm not dropping. I just don't think you can drop a top 50 or a guy that you viewed as a top 50 player. And I'd probably even extend that out to maybe the top 70. And even selling high, buying low on those guys is like, if I had someone who was underperforming and who was a top 50, top 70 player, I'm going to be hesitant to move them at this stage because we are only four or five games into the season. But if I start at the top, and look, even when, I mean, I'll use Wemby. I'm not going to, obviously, we're not doing anything with Wemby, but despite the fact that everyone's saying how bad he's been and how he's underperformed, he's the 34th ranked player this season. So if that's his floor when he's playing like this, then I think we're going to be okay. Halliburton is probably another one. We can't do anything with him because, yeah, if you're going to be selling him, someone's going to offer you a top 30 player and it's just not worth it. All right, moving through the rankings here. And these will be some of the people I get. I mean, once we get lower is where we'll get more common players that I'm getting asked about. But at the moment, I mean, Jalen Williams is one. I'm not worried about him. He's the 132nd ranked player. The numbers are okay. His defense will come back. He's a notorious slow starter, so he's going to be fine. I'm not doing anything with him. Zion, much better after today. He would have been on this list, but I'm okay there. We've got some injury guys who we don't really need to talk about, like Brandon Miller, Emmanuel Quickley. Tobias Harris is probably a good one as an example. So he was going in the 60s in drafts, and he is a borderline 150, top 150 so far, averaging, where are we, 10 points, 7 rebounds, 2.5 assists. The 1.8 defensive stats are okay. He's shooting 34%. That's going to come up. I'm not sure he's going to get to that sort of top 50 range that we thought he might. For me, I think he's probably going to settle in the 70 range. So you won't really lose too much in terms of where you drafted him. But once those percentages come back, I think he'll be okay. But I do think his impact is probably largely off the court, and when he's on the court, it's not in terms of tangible production. It's just the leadership that he's providing on the court. All right, keeping going down this list. OG Anunoby is another one. I have him on a few teams, and he's obviously been a little bit tough to roster for the first couple of games, but I thought he looked better yesterday. If you drafted him, you really just wanted some threes and some steals. He's at 1.3 steals. Only 0.7 threes per game and 43.8%. So percentages will come up. Threes will get up to 1.5. Steals hopefully up to 1.5. So I think he's going to be okay. I wouldn't be doing anything with him at the moment. But let's get into some guys that I do think you need to be a little bit concerned with in terms of where they were being drafted. Draymond Green today was basically best case scenario for him without Wiggins, without Curry, and he didn't do a lot. he was okay, and he's obviously on the court and doing stuff, but it just doesn't translate to fantasy, and he doesn't have that floor that he used to have. So he is the, where was he? 175th ranked player. I don't think you need to roster him, to be honest. I know he does stuff, but that's probably partly just my dislike for him. But I don't think that you need to be rostering him. Alex Caruso is someone that was also being taken in that 100 range, and he is outside the top 170 at the moment. I guess you have to put this into perspective. If you drafted Alex Caruso, you were looking for defensive stuff, blocks and steals, and he's doing that. He's getting 1.7 steals, 1.3 blocks. Other than that, though, it's just ridiculously underwhelming. He's averaging 1.7 points per game. He's not starting. He's playing 20 minutes. If this role sticks, I'd like to see a sample size of what his role looks like in a competitive close game. But if he's only going to play 20 minutes a night, I think he probably should be viewed as a streamer. But if you're punting points, and I've got him in a couple of leagues where I am punting points, so I really don't care about the points at all, I can hold him. But other than that, he's going to be tough to hold in 20 minutes. But for now, I wouldn't be dropping him just because of the defensive upside that he has. He can really swing one or two categories by himself. All right, continuing down the list here. Look, Podziemski was another one, but he looked better today. And I think without Curry there and without Wiggins, we could get a good look at him, and this might boost his confidence a bit. So we're obviously holding him after today. Trayce Jackson-Davis, I think I got a question just before on Twitter about him. I don't know if it's still here. Yeah, so are you worried about Trayce Jackson-Davis? Would you drop for PJ in a 12-team points league? PJ, I'm assuming he means PJ Washington. Yeah, I would. I think in a points league, absolutely. Trayce Jackson-Davis has been starting, but he's only averaging 19 minutes. And we knew he wasn't going to play starters minutes, but we did think that he would maybe get to 25, and that's not the case. He only played about 15 tonight. So, yeah, I don't think Trayce Jackson-Davis needs to be held in all situations. Again, if he does fit your build, but we're not even getting the numbers that we wanted. He's averaging 10 points, 4.7 rebounds, 0.3 blocks. We were looking at him as sort of a 6 to 7 rebounds, 1.5 blocks. His field goal percentage is good, but he's just not taking a lot of shots. So, yeah, it's a situation where you probably can move on if you want to. Marcus Smart is another one. Are we panicking on him a little bit? Yes. Again, the minutes just aren't there, 23 minutes. He's sort of in that Caruso range or discussion. He is averaging 7 points, so significantly more than Caruso. But the defense is there, 1.5 steals, 0.8 blocks. So, again, if you're punting points, you can hold Smart. If not, I probably would be okay with moving on, because he's been doing this despite the fact that they've had injuries. So once they're fully healthy, that role is probably going to reduce even more, or it's certainly not going to increase too much. So let's keep going. Taylor Hendricks, yeah, we know we're dropping him, obviously. Colin Sexton, I mean, I think I talked about him. Did I? Maybe I did. I would give him another game or two, because you probably did invest a top 80, top 90 pick in getting him. So, but yeah, it's a bit concerning that they're playing Clarkson over him. If Clarkson's going to start, I think he's probably worth adding as well. I know he's floating around in a few leagues. And he hasn't had a good start to the season. So today was a step in the right direction. All right. And then there's lots of late round guys here, like Andrew Nembhard, we can drop. Iyodosunmu, we can probably drop. But with Lonzo out, maybe we give him a game or two, because if he can get to 30 minutes, I think he might have some value. So, yeah, maybe there's a game or two in Iyodosunmu there. Melton, look, he's injured. It's a back injury. He's had a back injury before. He's probably okay to hold if you want to, if you've got an IR spot. Did I say Nem? Yeah, I said Nembhard. Nembhard would drop. Kelly Oubre. The points are good. He's averaging 21 points a game, but they are going to get Paul George and Joel Embiid back at some point. And whenever that happens, Oubre will probably be a drop. Keep scrolling down here. And these were just some of our late round flyers. Grady Dick, probably another one that that we're getting some questions about. Oh, what happened there? Are we dropping him? He's borderline. I think once Quickly is back, probably he will become a drop. But as of right now, I think I'll probably hold him for another game or two. Yeah, okay. Sorry, I read the questions. I should read them once I put them up on the screen. Are we done with Jaden Hardy having a shot at carving? Yeah, I think so. They sort of, I don't know, it looked okay the first couple of games. Dinwiddie was out of the rotation, but he's played over Jaden Hardy in the last couple of games. So I think we probably are. I think in Dynasty, he still has some good value, but in redrafts, I think we can just drop him. Is Denny Avdija drop? No, he is not. I just want to have a look at his. Actually, let me just bring up Denny's box scores because I actually don't have him anywhere, which I was surprised because I sort of talked about him as a nice late round flyer. Okay, all right, and so with Denny Avdija, it's sort of, I think you need to look at. Reading the box score, you need to look at the percentages. So, yes, the points are not good. He scored 15, 2, 11, and 9. But he's shot 40% or less in all three games. He's good from the line, though. His rebounds are fine. His assists are fine. His steals are fine. His blocks are fine. Everything is there except the percentages. The minutes, except for that loss to the Kings, he's been playing 30 minutes a night, basically. Looking at his averages, where are we? So 28 minutes, 9 points, but 6 rebounds, 3 assists, 1.5 steals, 1 block. Once his percentages come up, I mean, if you look at his for his career, last year he was at 50%. Year before, he was at 44. Year before, close to 44 again. So even if he gets back up to 44-45%, his points are going to go up to 14-15, and then he's a pretty clear hold. So I'd be holding him if you can. Is there anything to the Lindy Waters breakout? I don't think so. The Warriors ran a really deep rotation today. They did get some garbage time, but Lindy Waters obviously played throughout this game, but he's not going to score the way he did tonight. He was basically a point a minute, I think. I didn't really watch much of the last quarter because it was, well, the last half of the last quarter, so the last eighth of the game, because it was pretty much done. So I'm just pulling up the, here we go. So the game log for this year. So 30 minutes tonight, obviously a really good performance, 21 points, 9 rebounds, a steal, a block, 3 threes. Prior to this, he played half a minute, 7 minutes and 5 minutes. He's a little bit like a Trey Mann, so he's just a sort of an electric scorer off the bench. I think Steve Kerr's probably going to want to get a bit of a look at him. And this would be the opportunity with Steph out, and if Wiggins misses another game, they do need scoring from anywhere. So if you wanted to stream him in, I think they play tomorrow, I believe. So if you wanted to stream him in for tomorrow, although it's probably a high volume day, I haven't looked at the games. Let me just have a look at how many games there are tomorrow. Wednesday, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 11. I think 11 games tomorrow. So there's a chance that he's not in your top 8 or top 10 players anyway. But if you wanted to, if you wanted to pick him up and just see how he goes, then by all means, go and do it. It's not like they have a lot of other scoring options at the moment on their team. So that will probably do it, I think, for today. A couple of players there that we're probably panicking on, or are we panicking? It's still early. We're only Blendy Hachimura was floating on my waiver wire. Is he worth a pickup? Yes, he is. I think I talked about him yesterday, maybe, as someone that I streamed in at least one league, if not two. The minutes are there. LeBron is trying to get other guys involved. So for the season, where are we? For the season, he is a top 70 player, 17.5 points, 8 rebounds, 0.8 steals, 2 threes. And I think for him, I mean, there's obviously a bit of an empty fantasy game situation for Hachimura, but he's only shooting 44% from the field. And that would be the worst of his career by far. So if he can get that back up to 46, 47, which would still be the worst, he could be averaging 20 a game. So as long as LeBron is happy to defer a little bit and try and involve these other guys, then I think Hachimura needs to be rostered, as long as you're not looking for defensive stats, because he is not going to get you defensive stats. He'll luck into a steal every now and then, but he's really points, threes, rebounds at the moment. So, yes, he is worth a pickup, I believe. And that'll do for today's show. It was a little bit early. I've got some things I need to be doing. I will be back tomorrow at the usual time, I think. Yeah, I think it'll be the usual time tomorrow. Back with the post-game show. 11 games, so we will have to hammer through those games pretty quickly. I'm Adam King. This has been the Balls Deep Fantasy Basketball Podcast. Until next time, catch up.
You just listened to another episode from the Fantasy Basketball International Podcast Network. Thanks for joining us. And for more information about joining our community, please check out our website at fbibasketball.com.